Not an adult.
Podcast, you bastard.
Hello and welcome to Not an Adult Podcast with me, Lauren.
And me, Rudy.
Now, our podcast is all about our experiences as two 20-somethings trying our best to figure out what adulting is all about. Each week, we will be discussing popular topics, offering our own uneducated advice and tips, all while telling wacky, wild and hilarious stories told by us and you, the listener. So sit back and relax, grab a cuppa,
or crack a tinny,
and let's figure this out together. Please remember that this is just our experiences and opinions, so please do not fact check us on anything we say, as we are probably wrong.
It's over there, look.
What is it?
I don't know.
What's this endangered species?
I think it's a wild gnaw.
A wild gnaw? What the fuck is that?
I don't know. Shush, though, it's coming. I'm going to fucking shoot it.
No, really?
Yeah, I'm going to fucking shoot it.
Send it!
Well, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
Yeah.
I've been trying to restore dopamine after last weekend.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ, that was a right party, that.
I know. Well, I don't know if we should say this, but basically, so it did go really well, Rudy's party. Obviously, if you saw on our Instagram, we took the stack down and you could see like the videos of like the sound and everything of like how loud it was. But where we live, they have like a page for like the area that we live in on Facebook.
Yeah, Armley Good Stuff.
Yeah, and there was a thing on Armley Good Stuff, like, what did they say? Like,
I think it's someone was like, where's this rave at on Armley Moor? Like, someone was looking for the rave. But yeah, we had 26,000 watts in my garden and we were absolutely sending it from about 10 o'clock at night till about 2 in the morning.
And then like, cut it off.
We cut it off then because it was daft anyway. Yeah. I thought we were going to cut it off earlier, but because no one came and complained.
Well, everybody was fine about it. Like, because we read the comments because I was like, shit. But everybody was quite like positive on the comments. Everyone was like, oh, we should go down there, like gate crash.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, there was a few dog walkers that came past and like poked their head in. They were like, what's going on? And they were like it's good music, and they're all dancing and stuff, everyone that walked past.
Yeah, everyone was sound about it. Like, I feel like when we lived in Headingley, it was much worse, and that's a student area, but we're in like not a student area, and everyone was like, fucking send it.
Yeah, like, it's we seem to get away with that. So yeah, I mean, it was a good weekend, but that was 3 days of partying.
Yeah,
I felt that this week, you know.
We're getting old. Like, we're getting older. Like, I remember I used to, like, when I used to go, like, work in the restaurant, I used to come out with you. I used to work on the Friday, then come out with you, and then have, like, what, 1 hour, 2 hours sleep, and then go straight back to work, and then meet you again after work at the party, and nothing would bother me.
Honestly, I've got no idea how you've done that.
I don't know how I used to do that.
I couldn't even, I've never used to be able to do that.
No.
Like, that's some next Iron Man shit.
Talk to people as well, like, hey, how you doing? Do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this?
Awful. I used to feel sorry for you when you were, like, leaving. I'd be like, because you know when you know you'd never do it yourself?
Yeah.
I'd just be like, Yeah, no, it's sound, yeah, I'll see you later. And you'd go and I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, it was always a bit of a one. But
yeah, I've been recovering from that all week. And then I was pretty much recovered, like, yesterday. And then obviously we decided to have a drink and it's just destroyed me again. Like, I was so ready. I was like, I'm going to be really positive this weekend. And it's just, yeah, it's murked me off again.
Yeah, but we've had a good weekend. We've had like a proper like bed day weekend. Like, we've just chilled and it's just been quite nice. We've not been slobs. We've been cleaning up in between and like making sure it's all nice.
Sat amongst foist.
Yeah, we've been washing, doing all that, but just chilling. But it's definitely what we need because it's the end of half term.
I know, you're off back to work.
Back to work, and I don't want to, but it'll be good because then we'll get routine and we'll start just getting back on it with fitness because fucking, I've just not had any limits on any food that I've eaten this week. I've just been like, eat it. Do you know what I mean?
You've been going in on food.
So yeah, put on a couple of pounds. But
you look good, though. You look good. You keep getting worried about it, but you look really good, honestly.
Do you know what, though? If anybody is the same height as me, which is like 2 foot, if you literally eat like a biscuit, you literally put on the weight like straight away. I feel like it's just the height distribution. Like,
it doesn't do you any favours.
No, yeah, like, yeah. It's like if I put on 1 pound, it looks like I've put on a stone.
Yeah.
But yeah, something positive that also happened was obviously we're like, you know, planning on like going to Vietnam and everything like that. But we were stressing because of the dog that Nash is, because he's a staffy. And like obviously they're considered a dangerous breed. None of the airlines would take him.
It's been a proper stress actually finding one that'll take him. He's on like not just the airlines, like most countries is a banned breed for like almost all countries to import or export. So yeah, it's been a nightmare. We emailed that private company, didn't they? And they got back to us and they were like, yeah, £2,600 and we'll get your dog there.
I was like, no.
Oh my God.
But we found Qatar Airlines.
Yeah, Qatar actually takes staffies.
Yeah, and they take them for a walk and everything, don't they? Like in between the little drop-offs.
It's going to be, it's a bit rough anyway. It's free flights, isn't it?
I know.
So it's free flights, but at least he gets walked and like they'll give him water. A bit of time outside of his little box that he's going to be shoved in. I feel bad, but you know what? It's better than leaving him.
I know that's the only other option. Like, I know I was seriously contemplating, like, I mean, I hadn't told my dad this, so if he listens, he's probably going to be like, fuck off. But I was going to ask him, like, if he'd take Nash for a couple of months, maybe see if we could get settled and then, like, bring him over. But I'm glad that we're just going to rip the band-aid off, send him, and then we'll just have to fucking...
We'll just make sure he's all right when we get there. Yeah. Obviously, it's a completely different country. It's going to be at least 30 degrees every day. So that's going to write him off for a while.
We went out for a walk today, you know, because it's been like nicer weather. I think, what is it, like 15 degrees? Or...
Yeah, it's not even hot.
And he was fucking good. I was like, oh God, you're going to have to fucking adapt.
Yeah.
But he will. Like last summer... It was fucking 30 degrees odd in England and he was fine. He just didn't go. We just walked, take him out for walks.
If we do it, it'd have to be really early morning before sunrise.
Or really late.
Yeah, or sunset.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, this might, well, hopefully be the last podcast with these mics.
Yes.
Because my mum, she's so good. She's got us two new mics.
Well, it was a birthday present.
For my birthday, yeah. And so that'll vastly improve the quality of the podcasts.
Yeah.
Which is good, man. It's less editing.
Well, it saves you time, doesn't it?
Just trying to correct these things, man.
I know, and I think I'm a bit bad because I'm like, all over joint, like fucking laughing all over joint. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult, man.
Yeah, did you want to say anything else about the party?
No, I don't want to talk about partying anymore.
Okay.
I want to be a good human.
Okay. So, now it's time for this week's Shit Top Tip.
Shit!
Every week, we'll be presenting a Shit Top Tip for you, the listener, to take something informational away from the podcast. So, I've got a Shit Top Tip, you got a Shit Top Tip. I'll say mine, you say yours, we'll decide which one's the best.
Oh, we've got two Shit Top Tips.
Okay, yeah. So, my Shit Top Tip this week...
Is this from you or a listener?
No, this is from me.
All right, okay.
Yours truly. And it is something, it ties in with the party that went on Friday. So, this shit top tip has been tried and tested by yours truly. We did it last weekend for Rudy's birthday. So, if you're having a party, you've got a garden, but you don't have any like turf down or pavement or anything like that, and it's just mud, and you know you've got a lot of people come in, and you don't want to get the shoes fucked up, or you don't want the mud trailing in your house. Well, go to Pets at Home, buy some straw, whack it all down on the floor, boom.
Yeah, it was very good. It's like £2.50 a bag and it stretches.
It fucking stretched.
Like, those bags are like the size of a pillow, right? And they'll cover like 5 square metres.
Yeah,
like,
I think 3 bags. I mean, we got 4 bags in the end, but 3 bags was enough. And then the fourth, we were just throwing it everywhere, weren't we? Because we were like, oh, just packing it all out.
I do think it's a tip exclusively for winter, though, because I did think about it. I'm looking at a garden now and it's full of straw. And I'm thinking in the summer, you flick a fag into that pile.
Oh, it's going to blaze.
Just me. Bonfire at garden, man.
It was good though for the party. The only annoying thing is about it now is every time we walk into the caravan, loads of straw trails in. So it's a bit annoying. But
it is slightly annoying.
It's better than mud, and it did the job.
Yeah, well, I've had possession of the podcast phone this week.
Okay.
Because I've not had a phone, so no. I've just decided to take that to work.
Yeah.
And we've had a submission from Dan from Barnsley.
Okay. Hi, Dan.
But I'm not sure if this is his original, if this is like an original submission, because I'm not sure if I've seen this somewhere else before.
Okay.
So, Dan, you might be a fucking fraud. But, all right, so he says, are you tired of the next door neighbour's kids being noisy and fucking around in the street? And you just want, like the kicking footballs against your house, and you just want a bit of peace and quiet.
Where do you live?
Well, some people, you know, you got noisy kids in the street.
I feel like that's really old school, that. That's like when we were kids. Do kids still do that now? They play on fucking Fortnite, don't they?
I don't know. Well, he says, if you want a bit of peace and quiet, you need to get yourself on the sex offenders list, and it'll restore tranquility to your street.
Dan.
It's Dan from Barnsley.
Oh, fucking hell,
so
Dan from
I'm
Barnsley.
Either assuming he's on a list and he's like, oh, peace and quiet. I don't know if you can just sign up for that.
I don't think you can, and I don't really think that we should recommend people to do that.
Yeah,
because
right.
That's a bit extreme.
Right, well, cheers for top tip, Dan, you dirty bastard.
I think mine was more PC. Yeah. If you have any shit top tips, then get in touch at submit@notanadult.co.uk or on our WhatsApp hotline on 07 55 337 8431. And remember, if you're messaging from outside the UK, then just slap +44 in front of it. Ugh. Now it's time for Nah News.
News. News.
Welcome to NAA News, Nah News. Here are this week's top stories. So, Lake District walkers who become unwell after eating magic mushrooms are rescued.
What do you mean, becoming unwell or just on a mad trip?
So, mountain rescuers had to intervene after a group of walkers took magic mushrooms while out in the Lake District over the weekend. The rescue team were called to Stonycroft and Newlands after passers-by raised concerns about a group of young men.
Bloody hell.
So, according to reports, several of the walkers, including the driver, had started to feel unwell after consuming mushrooms. And after the emergency workers found them, they escorted them back down to their vehicle and gave them advice for their onward journey. Apparently, the mountain rescue team received a number of calls from passers about the men. It just made me think, how strange were they acting for to call it in? Do you know what I mean?
That's why you don't want to be around the public when you're tripping.
I know.
Like, you know when you're tripping, you want anything but an interaction with another human. Like,
who's not on the trip.
Who's not tripping. You just like, avoid. Mm. Avoid. Yeah, nah, I bet they were just fucking about in the Lake District.
When they say that they were feeling unwell, they probably needed to be sick. They probably took that much that they needed to be sick and then they'd be fine.
Did they eat the right mushrooms?
Well, they're alive, so probably.
Yeah, because I know you can eat some dodgy mushrooms that are... I think that some of them can give you, like, hallucinations, but they'll also make you very sick.
Well, like those... do you remember when we were kids and we were, like, obsessed with, like, we're going to pick some mushrooms? And, like, in England you get Liberty Caps. And I remember reading that there's Liberty Caps, but then there's also some mushrooms that look exactly like Liberty Caps. But if you eat them, you die in 3 weeks. And I was just terrified to pick the mushrooms. So I was like, what if I pick the wrong ones?
Because they have mad similarities, don't they? So like they look like those little ones with a nipple on top.
Yeah.
But the only difference is that underneath of them, like the fins are a different colour or they're like a different shade.
It is quite crazy, really, because it's quite an old school drug, really, isn't it? Like mushrooms. Like I know our parents, they can identify them, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But unless you know, quite hard to identify them.
I remember telling my dad that we were off to go pick some mushrooms and he gave us a mushroom book and he was like, use the book as reference, do you know what I mean?
And we couldn't work it out, so we just passed them to him and we were like, are these okay?
Yeah. I know, it was a mistake telling my dad though. I was like, are these right mushrooms? And he was like, yeah, they're the ones. And then I let them dry in the garage and about a week later I went to have a look and half of them had gone.
You did?
Like, nice one, Dad.
Who else built Lincoln?
Was that a little snot, man?
That was one, no.
Yeah, wait, I'm just going to get some more. Let's get some rosé before next one.
Do you know what? People are going to think we're fucking alcoholics. Like, on the past couple of episodes, we've been like, oh, get me another drink, get me another drink.
Nah, do you know what it is? It's just because we spent 3 months not drinking. So I'm just catching up.
Yeah.
Just give us a sec, 1 minute.
Funny today when we went to go buy that rosé, because even though I'm 27, if you know me, you know that I'm old enough, but I do look like quite young, but obviously my family do, like my mum looks really
right,
young.
Don't
like,
flatter yourself.
Well, yeah, but everybody in my family does look quite young, like even my nan.
It's because we are quite young. You're 27.
No, but what I mean though in like young was like I was on the bus and this woman who I was sat next to, she thought I was 16. And when she was like, oh, are you off for the holidays? And I was like, oh, yeah. And she was like, oh, what college do you go to? And I was like, oh, no, I work at a college like that. Yeah. She was just like, oh, she just couldn't get it. Okay, so this is quite a crazy story. And it's a bit like, obviously, I usually do like upbeat ones. It's a bit of a sad one, but it's like obviously fine. But I just thought it's just crazy. So student made to neck 750ml of rum, so full bottle,
fucking hell,
in 3 minutes is given a 1% chance of survival.
Well, yeah, obviously.
So this was a stunt where you can get at a fraternity in America.
What is it with these frat houses,
man? I don't
man?
Get it.
I mean, imagine if the concept sort of came across the pond and we had frat houses over here. Like, if you had a frat house, I mean...
We'd never have frat houses over here. No, I'm sorry, but...
No, frat houses over here are just student houses.
They are just... But the thing with the frat houses is it's like that hierarchy thing. Like, when you're the first year, like, you made to go through shit. Like, you have to, like, be the bitch or something for the year and then you work your way up and...
It just wouldn't work over here.
It just wouldn't, because you'd just be like, what the fuck are you asking me? You'd just be like, well, I don't really want to be a part of your fucking fraternity.
It's weird, isn't it? I've seen some of them, like... initiations that they have to do to get to these frat things, and it's like, would you fuck do that?
No,
you got to walk around house in your pants for a week with paint all over you, and you got to call yourself I'm the turtle.
Yeah, like, it's really...
why would you degrade yourself to that level to be part of like some weird testosterone fueled fucking group and knobheads?
But that's always the thing, though. Like, as British people, and I've said it, you've said it, everybody I know like have said it. If we, you know, when you watch these American films, and like the bully's like, "Hey, man,
give me your lunch money."
Like, in England, you just go, no.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
fuck off.
Just get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't have anything. Obviously, there's bullying that happens in England, but it's not that.
I know, that's why I laugh, though. Like, I've seen clips of, like, American comedians, like, amateur comedians taking the piss out of, like, people in London and South London, like, you know, like, the drill scene.
Yeah.
And saying, oh, what's he going to do? Pull a knife on me like Shakespeare. And I'm like, mate, if you were in London and you said something like that, they're just going to stab you.
They won't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they'd literally, like, I wouldn't fuck with... Oh, my God, there's a fucking rat on top of the thing. Oh, no, it's a squirrel. Sorry.
Fucking hell. Right.
The 19-year-old was made to down the bottle of rum whilst being struck with paddles. Like, what the fuck? This stun had a devastating impact on his health, and he's left unable to care for himself, stand or speak.
Yeah, I can't believe, like, a full bottle of rum.
I didn't understand. I didn't realize it could do, because we drink like quite a lot when we party. Do you
know
what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a full bottle of rum over 12 hours.
Yeah.
Like, that's still really bad. But it all in one go, your body can't process that shit. Like,
it's just too much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, instant alcohol poisoning, man. It'll just destroy your body heart.
Well, listen, I thought this is. So when it happened, he fell unconscious, and apparently the fraternity just dumped him at the hospital and then left. Like, and he was put on life support, but now he's filing a lawsuit against the Kappa Sigma fraternity,
and
members of the fraternity have been suspended. Luckily, he's on the road to recovery, but it has massively impacted his life. He can't go to work, and he isn't sure if he'll ever be able to. And it just was just like, what the fuck? How does that even happen? Like, how does somebody not go? Also, why did he say yes? Do you know what I mean?
Because he wants to be in group. Have you not seen, look, when you're that young, right? When you're younger, like, you just want to be part of a group. Mm. It's important to be part of a group,
yeah,
for, you know, like, social reasons. Because if you're the outsider, life can be rough.
Yeah.
So you do ought to be part of a group, do you know what I mean? And feel like you've got some sort of belonging. Because you'd be looking up at these other lads that, like, are all respecting each other, and they'll look really cool to you. So but when you're on the outside and all you've got to do is down that, fuck it, give us it here, let's go.
Do you know what it makes me think of, though, like, when they say, obviously, he's looking up to them lads? Like, I just think, well, what did you have to do to get to that point? Because you were obviously a bitch at one point, do you know what I mean?
I know, but I think that's how they convince them. Like, we've all had to do it. We've all had to do it. And you're like, okay, well, let's go then. But still, it's just daft.
It's daft.
It's a lack of education, probably, on the parent side about the dangers of drinking that amount of alcohol in one go.
Yeah.
But I think even with the right education sometimes, I mean, you do stupid
peer pressure.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, peer pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've caved into peer pressure before.
Yeah.
Off you, actually.
Off me? Fuck off. I've caved into peer pressure off you. But peer pressure each other.
Yeah, fuck you, though.
And then, okay, so this last story, this is one that I was wanting to tell you about on Friday, and it was really hard because I had a drink to hold it in, but I thought I'd get you grinds gearing. Gearing grinds? So, 1 million people are to be given a free vape in England. Right.
Yeah.
And so this is in a bid to get people to stop smoking. So up to 1 million people are set to be given free vapes. And it's a government initiative called Swap to Stop to urge smokers to give up their cigarettes. As part of the world's first scheme, around 1 in 5 smokers will receive a vape starter kit and also be offered behavioural support to help them kick the habit and get healthier. Pregnant women will also be offered up to £400 into a bid to get them to stop. and it's so that the government can meet their target of making the country smoke-free by 2030. What is with all the countries doing that?
No, do you know what it is? Like, there's like a little drop of positivity in there, yeah? But at the same time, like, you know all these schemes where, or when the government tries to, like, they create these targets, yeah? And they have competition with other nations. Mm. And it's like, oh, we've managed to do this many people in this amount of time. And I sometimes think it's less about the people and more about statistics.
Oh, definitely.
Probably the most extreme example of this is what they do in New Zealand. So in New Zealand, they've pretty much pushed tobacco and all smoking products into the black market by increasing the price by 25%. Yeah, I think like a couple of times a year for the past 10 years. So to the point now, to some extent, I think they do it in Australia too, but I know New Zealand's a lot worse for it, because when we were over in New Zealand, a packet of fags, like tobacco, it was like 100 quid or 80 quid. I think now it's like 150 quid for a 50 gram of tobacco. And all that does, it just obviously, if you get these fake tobaccos, which are generally full of shit and really bad, it doesn't really solve the issue.
But that's like, what I mean. I feel like with everything that like they do, it's almost like a backhanded like help.
Do you know what it is? It's just that it seems they approach problems in a bit of a backwards fashion, but it's a bit like how you try and fix something that you don't really have much of an idea of. Do you know what I mean?
But they try and fix things by saying, like, I think we talked about, like, with the homeless thing, like, oh, we're just going to get rid of them. It's like, get rid of something, but not actually try and fix anything. Like, just go, we can't see it. It's not in our view, not our problem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they said that they're doing this to stop people from dying from cigarettes. They say they are the only product on sale which can kill you if used correctly. And I just thought to that, I think you'll find alcohol, food and vapes also do that.
Yeah,
no,
alcohol and fast food, like, definitely. Like, so, fucking hell, like, the promotion of really unhealthy foods. Like, the lack of promotion from the government for a healthy diet and exercise. You never see them pushing exercise, do you?
No.
Like, that, I mean...
But it's like with alcohol, though. I think, was it a couple of years ago? Like, I can't remember what I was doing. I think I was doing, like, health and social or something like that at college. And, like, there was, like, a chart or something, and it was, like, had all the drugs on it, which was really bad for you. And alcohol was actually at the top. Alcohol and cigarettes were closer to the top, and then obviously you had, like, cocaine and heroin and everything after that. But alcohol was the first worst.
Yeah,
like, it was the worst.
That's why it makes me laugh when, you know, they start talking about weed, and they talk about it being a gateway drug. Like, alcohol is a gateway drug. Alcohol is the biggest gateway drug.
It is, because you think, fuck it, I'll do it.
I don't think for 1 minute, or believe for 1 minute, that the way they explain that, like, smoking weed lowers your inhibitions.
It, like, doesn't. It actually hires them. Like, I get, like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know anyone that, like, smokes a joint and they're like, oh, do you know what I'd love now? A line of coke.
I don't think anybody feels like that,
It's not the one, is it?
No.
It's not the one. I feel like, if anything, it makes you think more, and you're really a lot more introspective. You're like, I think I'm dying. I'm too high. Like, you don't want to do anything, man.
All you want is cuddle and sweets.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
literally
all
if you
want.
If you're not thinking or panicking, you're just relaxed.
And
you're
laughing.
You're just chilled, yeah. Whereas alcohol, like, it can turn you into a completely different person.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't gel well with alcohol, yet they still drink a lot. Like, it's one of them things that, like, anyone can just go buy it. You don't need, like...
You get somebody to go to the shop for you if you're underage. That's what we used to do.
Yeah.
We used to stand out the shop and wait for that one person that used to say, I'll go in the shop for you.
I think the point is, though, it's like, you can just go buy enough to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you can just go to the shop and do what you said in that last story about the fraternity.
Yeah.
You can just go buy a full bottle of vodka and smash that full bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
Like, easily.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, just to add on the last of this. So after they've pushed out this scheme, they're also bringing out another scheme which are going to combat the rising levels of youth vaping. So vaping...
Yeah, and have they got a fucking little nickname for that as well? Because all the government things, you know, like, swap to stop, and it's like, levelling up. Like, they always have these fucking little slogans. Do you know what it is, though? That's an actual tactic of psychology.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. They were doing it during COVID and stuff, and it's like, it's to hammer in these basic phrases, and we're more adapt to, like, remembering and self-enforcing things. Like, I can't exactly remember. I'm going to slaughter the whole thing, but it's a type of, like, not hypnotism, but, like, pressing psychology on the public. Do you know what
Which
I mean?
Which gets you to do it.
It's
reinforcement.
It's tactics to, like...
So it's like if I said to you every day, like, silently, like, oh, I really want
to shave Nash, and I just kept saying it over and over again every day. Like all of a sudden, yeah, maybe like, you'd get the idea.
Slash the Nash.
Yeah. It's almost like Inception, though, when they put the little idea in their brain.
Yeah, it's just like planting seeds.
Yeah. Apparently, there's going to be more rules and more police force to stop kids vaping, but what they're going to do, fucking attack them. Stop vaping!
Come here, you little shit.
But yeah, that's it from me. Over to you.
Right, well, this week I'm reporting live from the city of Hyderabad, which is the capital of southern India's Telangana state.
Whoop whoop!
Yeah, so big up. And the reason I'm here is I've been tracking analytics, and we've got one supporter that's been listening to us from day one. And
day one.
Is the only person from this small... he or she. And I don't know where it is, but it's a city in southern India, so... And
big up.
Big up. And I'm at Snow World.
Is there a Snow World down there?
It's the biggest snow theme park in the world.
Is it?
Yeah, in India, which, you know, it's very strange. It's a very strange place. It's basically just a 2,000 square metre hall covered in snow, and it's designed because, obviously, a lot of people have never experienced any type of cold weather.
Are the Himalayas part of... India.
I don't know if it's in southern India.
Oh, no, that'll be up there.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's just a big hall covered in snow. There's like small ski slopes and stuff, and a big slide, and I like slides.
I like slides.
So I'm just going to slide down this. So sliding straight into our first story this week.
Oh, really?
Officials in charge of a secretive Pentagon effort to investigate unexplained aerial incursions, or UFOs, has co-authored an academic paper that presents a theory of all these recent objects that could actually be alien probes from a mothership sent to study Earth.
What?
So, the head of Pentagon's anomaly resolution officials teamed up with Harvard's professors, and they've basically like been writing stuff down and like coming up with theories. And they've come to the decision that these objects define the laws of physics and have a high extraterrestrial probability.
Fucking hell. Do you know what, Rudy? It's coming, innit?
It's fucking coming. It is. They actually are coming.
We're going to see the aliens.
Yeah, yeah. So all this got me thinking, right? If they are sending alien probes down, what do you think it is that they're interested in?
The Earth.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. But I mean... Yeah, like, obviously, but what do you think it is that
not
these
us.
Aliens are in? No, but
what I mean though by the Earth is the terrain.
So, what do you think the aliens are more interested in Earth because it's really habitable for life?
Yeah, so I'm gonna go on a film now. But do you remember The Fifth Wave? That film, that was the aliens, and they were getting rid, like all the waves and everything, they were getting rid of the people because they wanted to stay. And do you not remember, we watched it in the cinema, it was when we were in fucking New Zealand actually, we watched this, and I remember we were sat in the cinema and we watched it, and he was like, the guy was like, oh, why are you doing this? You can't just eradicate an entire species. And he was like, why? You've been doing it for a century. And we were
So what, do you reckon they're just interested in our planet and not us?
Probably.
Because I thought about this, yeah. I thought, because all these write-ups and all these documents, I feel like it's a very human thing to think that we're really interesting.
We're not, though.
Because, like, ants are interesting.
Yeah.
Like, they're manipulating their environment.
Bees?
Like, yeah. Like, obviously, we look at... You have people that study snails their entire lives because they find them interesting.
Yeah.
So I think people are under the assumption that, like, they'd find us really interesting. But if they were that technologically advanced, they'd just look at us like that we're just stepping out of our... We're these advanced apes that have managed to create and manipulate our environment, but we're nowhere near where they are. So they probably find us a little bit mundane because they've passed all these stages.
Yeah.
Like, they could probably see where they're at. And maybe it is that our planet is rare to have, like, a habitable part of space that's good for life.
It is a good planet for life. Like, we are very lucky to live on this Earth.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what it is that they'd actually be interested in.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bit cynical, but I just think, like, if I was an alien planet and I was looking at the Earth as a whole and to see everything that we've done to the Earth, even though we do a lot of good, I feel like we do a lot of bad. And considering all the other different types of animals that live on this planet, we're the problem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but there might be something to that too, because, you know, all these alien sightings, there's always a large uptick when something bad's happening. So, you know, like when Hiroshima happened and stuff, at the same time that Hiroshima was happening after, there was loads and loads of sightings. And
do you think they're trying to like set us right?
Every time there's like there's a war going on in Ukraine at the moment and there's a large uptick of sightings again, and it's like, that's why they're like coming up with theories that they're keeping an eye on us to maybe like keep us in check or stop us from doing anything too daft, because obviously we have the power now to literally destroy all life on Earth. So I mean, I have no idea. I've not really got much of an opinion on it, because there's no like hard proof. There's just speculation. Do you know what I mean? Like they keep seeing these objects, but we've got high resolution cameras now, and no one's, well, supposedly they have high resolution imagery that are not showing the public, and videos of these flying things. But just show us.
I know. Do you know what though? Like, I don't know if I can say this story in here, because I don't know whether they'll be happy with me saying it. So I don't know.
What, who, the aliens?
No. Like, I'm going to say it and then maybe we might cut it out, because I'll ask. But, so my mum, obviously, I've told you this story before, haven't I? Like, she, obviously, I think I've spoken about it before on this podcast. I do think my mum's a little bit psychic. Like, she just has, like, weird premonitions and, like, weird shit. And she just gets vibes. And she's seen ghosts and stuff. And, like, I know you're a bit more sceptical in those sort of things, but I believe her, do you know what I mean? And she, I remember her saying when she was pregnant with me, she had this really weird, horrible, vivid dream. And the reason why I feel like it's real is because, do you know, like me with my dreams, I always feel like I sometimes go to like alternate universes, and I've always had this really weird ability of always being aware that I'm in a dream, and I can sometimes change it. It depends on the level of awareness that I am, but I'm always aware in my dream.
Some
always.
People have that better than others. I don't dream at all, but I think it's because I smoke weed.
I don't know. I've always had a very vivid imagination though, so I don't know whether maybe that's why. But my mum said that she had a dream. And it felt real. And it was basically when she was like 9 months pregnant, like ready to pop. Basically, this alien took her from the house,
right.
Took her to like this alien ship and did all these tests on her, and then put something in her fingernail, like under her fingernail. But what the really weird thing is about it is actually that time of period of time.
Yeah.
A lot of other people from across the world had the same story as my mum, which is why she doesn't think.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say like there's reports of this all over the world, yeah. And you kind of just classed as a bit of a cuckoo if you have these weird premonitions or like these things that have happened to you.
Yeah,
because there's loads of people that said they've been abducted, there's no explanation for it other than either you're chatting shit or it was just a dream.
Yeah, crazy dream. But then that's also another thing that you can touch on, because we don't actually really understand dreams. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of an anomaly in itself, aren't they, dreams?
Yeah, but they're definitely important. Like,
yeah.
Because if they weren't important, then they wouldn't happen. And, like, you know, like the left side of your brain, that's more active when you're awake during the day. And when you're asleep, the right side of your brain, that's more responsible for dreaming. Mm. So, like, there wouldn't be that function if it didn't mean anything, because animals dream. I mean, we see the dog running in his sleep all the time and barking. So, like, what is that for?
But then what that also touched on, do you remember a couple of years ago as well, we found those CIA papers where, like, they basically...
We found them. we fucking uncovered them. Is that what we did?
No, they got released or whatever. And it was quite interesting when we were reading them, because it was about how they'd basically got these people to basically master, like,
astral projection.
No, but it was to the point where they were in a room with all four walls, and then they could see where something was fucking miles away and say it exact for Zach.
I can't remember what those papers were, but it sounds like we're chatting absolute shit. But no, I remember there's actual documents.
CIA papers.
Yeah,
like,
they did like a deep study into it, and there was a load of people that did that work there.
Yeah.
They did a few like actual testers, academic papers on it. And
yeah,
I remember those papers that got released, because there was a lot of it that was redacted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's obviously a lot that they keep from us, like government-wise. And you could say it is to keep like the order in society, because of obviously how fast society is developed, and it's big on a large scale. So something of that magnitude probably wouldn't be like the best thing to keep things running as they are. But I think if aliens were real, it would change the whole idea of just being alive. If there is other beings out there.
I think it's always that thing, like when you sit there sometimes and like you look at yourself and you just kind of like, why am I here? But maybe we should get off this topic, because it's getting a bit
Move on to someone who I'll move on to someone who actually might be an alien.
Okay. Okay, so a bit more grounding.
Yeah, yeah. This alien's going to piss you off, Lauren.
All right.
Yeah, so a man forced to eat a diet of chocolate Easter eggs has consumed more than 200 this year.
Fucking hell.
Ashley Keane from Castleford has opened up on his struggles. The 30-year-old sales assistant says his body can only digest certain things. After many trials, it appears only chocolate, mashed potato, Yorkshire puddings and fruit can be properly consumed without issue.
What an absolute fucking yogurt. Like, no, that's ridiculous. He's never tried, like, has he not opened a cookbook? Like, what are all these papers in on how chocolate's really not that good for you?
Well, check this. So, he only eats chocolate between January and April every year. Well, chocolate eggs.
Do they come out in January?
Well, he's obviously got them on back order. Ashley said, "My diet is quite boring and not something I enjoy. I can't have meals with my two kids, so we can't go out for family meals and stuff like that."
Oh, fuck off.
It's massively frustrating, especially at Christmas. From the start of January through to April, I eat over 250 Easter eggs. It averages out between 3 and 6 times a day, depending on how hungry I get. He said he's been to the doctors for a full checkup, and apparently all his levels are all perfect. How?
He's an alien.
That's what I'm saying. He's one of these. He's one of these fucking aliens. Honestly, he's like your mum. He's been probed.
No, but my mum doesn't eat chocolate.
But it's just mad. I eat one Easter egg. Like, if I eat a full Easter egg in one go, I feel rough.
If I eat, right, it sounds really weird, right? But whenever I eat, like, gluten, sugar, or chocolate, it's like my ovaries get blown out. Like, I feel like I've got too big, like balloons where my ovaries should be. I don't know whether that's the right place, that's what it feels like.
Imagine eating, like, the only thing you've eaten for the day is 6 Easter eggs.
I just think my nose would be sweating, I'd stink, I'd be farting, I just wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked at photos of this geezer. Yeah, he doesn't look right healthy.
Is he like a big man? Or
yeah, he's quite large, but he says that all his levels are fine, and I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, they might be fine, but for how long?
I know.
Yeah, it's not good, man. But no. Again, part of his diet, obviously, it was chocolate, but he mentioned Yorkshire puddings. And I thought, yeah, there was that other story, like, a couple of episodes ago, that geezer, and all he ate was Yorkshire puddings.
Was it not kebabs?
Oh, there was that dickhead too. But I just think with these people, it's like more of a psychological thing.
It definitely is. Like, you can't just survive on chocolate. But the reason why we get those receptors in our heads is for chocolate, and like why you want to eat it more, like when you're eating it all the time, is because it was like a reward thing, wasn't it? Because you couldn't really get sugar.
Yeah, like honey.
When we were back in the day, because it was a hard graft to get sugar.
It does activate some shit in your brain. It's proper addictive.
Yeah, but that's because of like the old primal thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think though, like when people get caught up in stuff like this, it's because of what they're telling themselves.
Yeah,
that's what it is. I can't eat anything other than this.
Yeah,
it's like, you probably can, but if you're telling yourself you can't, just like when you tell yourself you can do something, like I can do this, if you've never done it before and you're like, I can definitely do this, you generally
can do it,
get it done.
Yeah,
so I feel like it's more of a
mind
thing,
over matter.
Yeah, a thing for therapy. Get yourself to therapy, Ashley.
Keen.
Next to the news, there's a town in Italy that punishes politicians by putting them in a cage and chucking them in the river.
RuPaul?
Yeah.
Do they drown?
Well,
like...
look, the event is called the Tonka, and it takes place in the city of Trento every June. It's a historical punishment where back in the day, people would have been killed, like just been, you know, thrown in a cage and left.
No.
But nowadays, they're just there. They just pull them, they give them a dunk and they pull them back out.
Crazy. But that's like,
honestly,
witch trials.
I rate it, right? And I feel like it should be adopted here. Like the Thames Tonka, or even better, dunk them in the fucking Brown Sea in Hull. That'll teach him a lesson. Do you know what I mean? But if we were going to make a Tonka list on who should be dunked, who do you reckon should be on it?
Pretty Patel. I fucking hate.
Oh, definitely. Pretty Patel.
The bitch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sorry, that's it for me. That's enough.
Yeah, she should be definitely dunked. Boris should have a little dunk.
Yeah, I mean, Boris kind of gets away with a lot because of his boyish charm, which is irritating.
What are you on about, boyish charm?
No, so you know that when I was talking about the woman on the bus who thought I was a 16-year-old girl, she was saying to me how she didn't like Rishi Sunak because he didn't talk to the people and he spoke down to them, but she said, I can forgive Boris because he talks to the people and he gets involved, which I kind of get.
I know, but they're just, they're doing the same job.
I know they are the same, but
I think they should both be dunked, man. Right, so we've got Priti Patel, Boris, Rishi. See, these are all political people, but this is what this was for in that town.
Yeah.
It's for political people. But I just think that's great. They hold them to account for their shit.
Yeah.
They don't get held to account at all here. It's like, he's a dickhead, but oh well.
They don't even say sorry, though, or anything. Like, they do something wrong, and they just deny. And even the party, I think they denied it. And, like, everybody knew that they had it. But then, like, it just gets brushed under the carpet, doesn't it? They go, we didn't do it, we didn't. And I think...
even when they get caught red-handed, they
go, We didn't do it.
So you definitely did do it. Yeah, well, I didn't. Like, yeah. It's just, come on, man.
But I think people would probably respect them more if they just went, yeah, I'm really sorry. Like, do you know what I mean?
I feel like they're allergic to it, though.
Yeah. But it's they've all gone to Eton, though, aren't they? Like, they all get taught differently. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of my news this week. So I'll fly back to the studio.
Okay, so now it's time for story time.
Fucking listen up, shitheads! It's story time with Rudy and Lauren.
If you have any stories, then you can send them over to submit@notanadult.co.uk or blow up our WhatsApp hotline on 07 55 337 8431. And remember, if you're messaging from outside the UK, then just slap a +44 in front of it. It can be anything, a nice story about your day, a confession, general chit-chat or questions. Whatever is on your mind, we'd love to know. And as always, you can do this anonymously if you prefer. So, story time this week is going to be heavily based on the competition. Okay, so pretty much everybody sent them in anonymously.
Right, okay.
So the first one... this just made me laugh. Having anal with my tutor in the middle of a semester. Weird shizzle.
What? No way.
But then it made me think, like, does that sort of shit happen? Like,
it must do. For the select few, it must happen. Because you got to think about it. People are just people.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, going to uni or school, there's always a story of someone. I mean, there was at our school.
Oh, yeah, but didn't they end up marrying?
Yeah, so what happened was one of the PE teachers ended up sleeping.
Yeah, I know.
Ended up sleeping with a sixth former, and then he got found out, he got sacked, but then he married her, and then they re-employed him.
Yeah. Our school was shit, though. Nobody really wanted to work at our school.
Yeah, there's stories that everywhere. It definitely happens.
Yeah.
And some people are very lucky, and others, I think, get a bit molested. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a spectrum of it.
I think, though, when you're at uni, I think the lines are blurred because you're over 18.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, is it bad conduct? Or, I mean, they are your teachers, so...
It depends if it's like a 70-year-old philosophy educator.
Or a 20... Because you could have a 26-year-old, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It just comes down to morals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In London and getting pretty drunk round King's X area. Forever alone and starting to feel horny. Got stopped by this girl as I was walking, weaving to the next pub, and she offered me sex for £20.
Oh, God.
Told her I only had a tenner. She made a face, but must have been desperate, so she nodded okay. Led me into this dark lane, like a garage for taxis or something, and started sucking me off. Got me hard and turned around, hands on knees, knickers pulled to one side. No condoms, by the way. Just as I was trying to slip it in, some huge bald black guy with a beard appears at the end of the lane and starts walking in towards us. I instantly lose said erection and I'm thinking, here we go. Wondering if I have the sobriety to kick him in the balls and leg it before my blood is all over the deck. We stop. She tells me it's okay. He's a friend. I'm not really reassured, but he tries to score some dope off her. And he nods a polite greeting to me like there's absolutely nothing strange about the situation. Cut a long story short, we end up at his flat. He takes a tenner to get some grass, and the girl and I have sex. He comes back, we all smoke a joint from the stuff that he got from my tenner, and I've often wondered if she ever managed to make any money.
Oh my god. Right, these are all red flags, yeah. If there was any advertisement to wear a condom, this would be one. Like, honestly, you get offered sex, right?
For 20 quid.
For 20 quid, and you barter down to a tenner. You've got to wrap it up. If you're going to scoop that low, you've got to wrap it up.
This week's shit top tip.
Honestly, man, fucking hell. I always think about people that go through with stuff like this.
Do you know what it's been made me think of reading all these stories? It's just quite tragic to go to university. Like, you get put through quite tragic situations.
Yeah, definitely. Right, well, I'm going to stick that one at number one so far. So that's our current winner. Okay. Someone may take the lead, but let's go.
The worst night I had last year was when my housemates walked home from the club to find me basically lying in my own sick outside our front door while being dressed as an Oompa Loompa. We went out for Halloween and I just absolutely wasted too early. Ended up getting chucked out of the club and stumbling home, but I didn't take my key as my housemate told me I wouldn't need it. Why didn't my housemates follow me? You tell me. Woke up everybody in my phone book that night, made like 82 calls if I remember correctly. Some interesting stories about what I was like on the phone as well. Bad times.
Oh, do you know what? Like, I know people that are really giddy on the phone when they go out on a night out. Like, do you know people that you see sometimes and they're calling people when they're absolutely arsehole and you're like, what are you doing?
I know, but when the random nights where we're not together when I drink, I always want to ring you.
I know, and you can't because I don't have a phone. See, that's an upside. Just don't want to hear it.
But do you not remember, right? That story reminded me. Do you remember when we lived in Headley and that random guy?
Oh my God. Yeah. We just woke up one morning, there was some random geezer on couch.
Well, it was literally the day before I started my new job at Left Bank. And I remember you and your dad had got fucked the night before. And obviously I didn't. So I went to sleep in the attic because we had like three floors, didn't we? And you and your dad were downstairs. Fucking, that was when we had Nash as well.
Yeah.
The guy, you didn't lock the door. The guy just came in and then literally like got in the bed. And I was like, what the fuck? Because I remember going down to the toilet and seeing that there was like a random phone in there and clothes that I didn't recognise. I thought, fucking hell, who's he brought back here? I was like, who's he brought back to this house? And when I went downstairs, you and your dad were just asleep and Nash was just looking at me and I was like, and the door was like ajar. So I went back upstairs and there was just a random man, like in the bed.
I woke him up and I kicked him out a bit violently, but it was in my fucking house.
But obviously, it must have been fucked, bless him. But
I remember marching him down the stairs. Yeah, and before he left, he went, "Can I get my shoes, mate?" And I picked one shoe up and threw it at him and went, "Fuck off."
But you should have locked the door. But also, why didn't Nash do anything? He just went, "Oh, you're right, mate."
He's deaf, innit? He wouldn't have even heard him come in. The funny thing was, the couch was right next to the front door. And me and my dad were both asleep on the couch with a dog. And he just strolled past us.
He was fucked. But he was sick. He was sick in the toilet.
I know, yeah.
Like, it was dirty, gross. It was all over the seat.
Dirty, man.
Right, so one time I was fingering this absolutely filthy Dutch bird and she shit down my arm.
Fair enough.
A friend was out for an early morning jog through parkland where he unfortunately needed to poop. In desperation, with limited options, he hid in some bushes to relieve himself. Just as he finished, a large dog came bounding up to him. Since the dog was quite intimidating, he made an effort to befriend it. Then the dog's owner appeared and assumed that he'd come off the path into the bushes to catch the dog for her. She was very thankful and made some small talk until she noticed the poop on the ground.
Oh, no.
The dog's owner then apologised, whipped out a poo bag from her pocket, picked up the poop, tied the bag and off she went with her dog.
Imagine having your dog shit, your shit retrieved. No, that's sick. That is so funny. I tell you what, though, it must have been hard because honestly, you know, them shit bags that we take out with us on walks, I struggle to fit. Nash's shits in them sometimes.
But if she's got a big dog, she must have big poo bags.
Oh, right. Yeah, true. Yeah. Fucking hell. That's awkward.
So I am a 33-year-old female and I love to read. So I borrow books from the library often. Unfortunately, my boyfriend likes to bother me while I'm reading. So I read at night after he goes to sleep. Well, I ended up staying up all night reading. When the sun started rising, I decided to finally lie down. Not long after lying down, my boyfriend got up. He went and sat on the chair, which is directly across from me. I could see his phone screen lit up, but I couldn't see the actual screen. He usually listens to music in the morning, so I figured that's what he was doing. So I closed my eyes to try to sleep until I heard him move. I opened my eyes and saw him throw something in the hamper. Then he went to the bathroom. I shouldn't have done what I did next. I checked the hamper. He threw a cum-filled sock into the hamper, But not just any sock, a dirty sock. He's been masturbating into dirty socks. Ugh. Socks that he wears on his feet all day. Socks that he sweats in. And he has athlete's foot. He didn't even wash his dick afterwards.
Oh my God.
Almost every time we'd have sex, I would end up with an infection. I was tested for STIs and he was tested too. I couldn't figure out what the issue was. I was told that sometimes you get yeast infections from sex. Turns out it was his dirty socks the entire time.
Oh, fucking hell. What a dirty bastard.
He caught me separating our dirty clothes and he asked me why I was doing it. And I just told him to keep his dick out of my socks and then I buried my socks at the bottom of the hamper.
That's revolting.
He's my ex now, but we still live together. I don't know if he ever used my socks and I don't know how to really feel about this. It's very disturbing and disgusting experience.
Oh, it's grimy, isn't it? Getting athlete's foot prodded into you.
It's gross.
Oh my God.
Dirty fucking bastard. So this one, I didn't even realise that happy endings were still a thing.
What, in Thailand?
No, not in Thailand, just in general.
Sorry, massive generalisation there, wasn't it?
A massage parlour. So today I fucked up by going to get a happy ending massage. So I've done this a few times before. So I took a shower after work and headed on over. Go in, pay for an hour, get on the table, etc. Everything as usual. And the lovely woman who massaged me paid particular attention to my butt, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But when she left the room like twice during the massage for some unknown reason. Flipped, I got the old rub and tug, got dressed and left. Now here's where comes the FU. I got home and had some oil left over in my butt crack between my legs. So I went and took a hard towel and wiped from front to back. Upon looking at the towel, I left a significant brown smear on it.
Oh, you dirty bastard.
I haven't pooped since before I took the shower while getting ready. I have no idea how it got there, but I'm pretty sure that poor lady got a handful of my shitty ass crack. This sort of explains why she kept leaving the room, I think, as well. If I'd have known, I would have tipped her everything I had. Either way, I know I can never go back.
Oh my God, how do you... What do you mean? How'd you get a shitty ass crack?
I don't know.
That's bad, is that? Like, how do you... I don't even know how that happens.
I don't know, but that's crazy to have such a big brown smear, like, from it. Like, obviously, it may be a bit of, like, residue or something. You've not wiped your ass properly, but,
Are we overlooking the fact as well that he's going to a parlour just to get wanked off, regularly? Regularly getting wanked off at a massage parlour.
But where does this happen?
I think you could find places.
But I am a qualified massage therapist, and I couldn't think of anything more cringy. Like, literally,
just wanking someone off?
Yeah, like, oh, I've rubbed your back, now I'm going to rub your knob. Like,
I know, but it's a weird thing getting massaged, isn't it? Because, like, getting rubbed up and down, like, it's almost an impossibility not to get a boner as a boy. Like, honestly, I was in Thailand, right? When we were in Thailand, there were this, like, 70-year-old Thai lady. I was like 40.
Yeah.
I went over like family holiday and stuff, and like she was rubbing me. This is a 70-year-old woman. I was laying on my belly, like, and she was rubbing my back, and I just felt a boner coming on. And I was really paranoid because obviously there's a time where you've got to flip around and do your stomach. And I was like, I need to get rid of this. I need to get rid of this. It's probably just like being a 14-year-old lad, but just, I don't know what it is, getting your legs rubbed and shit. Like, what is that?
I mean, for me, like, I love getting a massage. Like, when I was doing it at beauty college, it was like a godsend getting massaged every week. But I didn't feel aroused. I just felt relaxed.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. It's a weird one, a massage.
Maybe for boys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just going to go for a wee to finish that off.
Okay. Have you heard or read anything about that woolly mammoth meatball?
What?
Yeah, so a meatball has been made from...
I think I have!
Yeah, yeah. So it's been recreated from the flesh of the long-extinct woolly mammoth as a part of a project to demonstrate the potential of growing flesh from cells. So it was produced by an Australian company called Vow, which is aiming to use cells from unconventional species to create new types of meat. And the reasoning behind it is that this production of meat doesn't require slaughtering of animals or the destruction of wildlife. So,
which is a good thing.
It is a good thing, but it's like it's slightly sci-fi and slightly weird, isn't it? Mm. Like, they're going on about, like, it, apparently it's really easy and it only takes, like, a couple of weeks to grow, like, these new meats And this company, they've explored other potential species to replicate. Like, they've got over 50 so far, some of which include alpaca, buffalo, crocodile, kangaroo.
Do we not have alpacas, though?
Yeah, but to, like, they can recreate alpaca meat without an alpaca just by using cells. No one's eaten this woolly mammoth meatball that this company's made, but I listened to a talk where there's these people that have found woolly mammoths frozen in ice or parts of meat, and they've cooked them and eaten them. So people have eaten woolly mammoth.
That's pretty wild to fucking roll the dice with that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know, because
they were around, like, at zero.
Yeah.
They were around 2,000 years ago.
Well,
like,
this is what this company's saying. So they've made this woolly mammoth meatball, but no one's eaten it yet. And the reason they haven't eaten it is because these types of proteins are millions of years old. So they don't know how the nervous system would cope if you ate something like that.
So what do the people say that have eaten
it? So the people that have already eaten it, like, obviously they're alive and they say that it's really nice. But what happened was that they obviously found it, and once it's thawed, they couldn't do much else other than just eat it. So it's like these small groups of people that are out in these wilderness places that find this stuff. Now, they probably could submit it to, like, a museum or some scientific research, but they've just chosen to scran it on site.
Pretty wild.
But it's fucking nuts, isn't it, man? But I were thinking, like, I'm pretty torn with this, like, growing cells and eating meat from grown cell stuff. Like, because at the same time, yeah, they're right. They don't need to slaughter animals and it doesn't destroy wildlife, but it's not natural, is it? Or is it natural?
You think about it, though, what is really natural now? Like, you have genetically modified fucking fruit and veg. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, everything's touched with something in it. So, I mean, I suppose it's probably, as long as it's all there nutrient-wise, what's the difference?
Yeah.
They're basically growing the meat without the heart and the organs and the brain. It sounds gross, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It is weird. Yeah. I don't know. I just,
That is quite interesting.
It just boggled me, yeah. Yeah. Just boggled me. The other thing is, as well, have you seen that robotic dog in New York?
I don't know, maybe.
So the New York police, they've deployed these robot dogs to police. Like, they're actually out now on the streets.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah. So it's them robot dogs from Boston Dynamics.
Okay.
You know that company that make that dancing robot and like the super high-end robots, like, for...
The one that does flips and stuff.
Yeah. So this robot dog, like, is... I think San Francisco have taken it a step further than put weapons on it.
They, like, put weapons on a robot?
They've put weapons on robot
it's
dogs.
It's like iRobot?
It's exactly that. So basically, these can go into dangerous situations and take out people autonomously.
How do they know what people they're taking out?
Well, I don't know the fucking depths of this, but it's Terminator level.
That is really scary.
Yeah,
America fucking terrifies me as it is. Like, fucking hell, like, going out with robot dogs, I'll never visit.
Yeah. But, like, honestly, I just think it's nuts that they're starting to deploy robots to do these types of roles, man. It's like, it's the first glimpse into the future of, like, robotics. They are going to be walking among us shortly.
But, you know, like, with these things, like, you know, like, I think we spoke about, like, those adverts where it's like those kind of, like, idealistic world where we're all living in, like, this
utopia.
Really, yeah, like, we're all driving in a car that self-drives us, and, like, we've got these robotic dogs. But what are all the normal people going to do when all these jobs are taken up? Like, what are we going to do? Are we just going to all die, or are we just going to be homeless?
No,
like,
I think the idea is UBI.
What's UBI?
Universal Basic Income for the masses. Because, obviously, they're going to use all these robots and AI to fulfil all the mundane jobs that humans have to do, a lot like factory work. So you got to think, like, humans, you know, we can only work efficiently for so many hours of the day.
Mm.
And these factory jobs, they're repetitive and they're shit. And a lot of robots are going to fulfill these roles, but obviously eliminate a lot of jobs that we have.
Mm.
So a lot of people are going to be freed up. So there's an assumption that there's going to be a point where universal basic income is required to support most people that don't work in a skill set that isn't yet being able to be done by a robot.
But then is that where also that things comes into play with the money thing? You know, with the universal bank thing where you get points system and stuff? Because I bet that's what it'll come into play.
Yeah, I think it all ties into stuff like that, because you can imagine the government's saying, you know, if you've been put out of a job by a robot, then obviously you can accept some sort of basic income, but you're going to have to take it in a form of a digital currency. And then that's maybe how they could hook people onto the digital currency more.
And you have to conform and fucking...
I think that's the worry with digital currencies. I think once digital currencies come and cash is gone, you are really, really reliant on the government and also very tracked. Everything's tracked. Your spendings are tracked. And the thing is with these digital currencies, it's not like the digital money in your bank account at the moment. These digital currencies are codable. So, for example, the criminal on the run, or someone, well, a better example, say someone has been done for drunk and disorderly, they can disable the use of their currency to be able to spend on alcohol. And all their money's signatured to them, you see. So they wouldn't actually physically be capable of spending it on alcohol, nor would they be able to send it to a friend because they're sending their money that has their signature on it. So that couldn't be spent on alcohol. So it's control in it, really. I think that people are worrying about, like, the privacy of being able to do things yourself.
Mm. But then I think that's what ties in with the story that I said before about, you know, the smoking thing. Like, that's also, like, you know, when they said, oh, the plan to be smoked free by 2030, that's putting a ban on what people can do. Like, if you get done for drunk and disorderly, who are they to say that you can't drink alcohol again? Like, it's
I know,
not
but it's that vision of a better future by eradicating all problems and all issues, which, to be honest, I don't think you'll ever do with humans. Like,
no.
you'll never be able to do that without probably removing all humans' ability to express emotion.
Yeah.
Unless they be able to suppress all everyone's emotion in a certain way, you know, everyone's free will,
yeah,
which I think would be ideal to them.
Yeah. Of course it would be.
Then I don't see it being a possible future, but it doesn't stop them trying, does it?
But they will try, though. Like, you know, a lot of the arts and stuff after COVID got absolutely diminished. Well, you know, it was the arts that suffered.
Well, they still are now.
I know.
They still are now. But the thing is, you need a balance of these people. Mm. You need a balance of creatives and a balance of people that are, you know, very competent in sort of, not, I wouldn't say business, but there's two sides to it. Do you know what I mean? You need people that can organise and are very orderly and can do things in one respect. Mm. But then you also need people that are a bit chaotic and creative to come up with ideas for the more competent people to organise, and, you know,
it's a balance.
Yeah, it's a balance. You can't just have all of one side or all of the other.
But then that's why I think I was like, that school doesn't really work for everybody. Because,
I think, yeah, that's the exact same thing. Yeah, that's the exact same thing.
It didn't work for you, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't work for everybody. And I think that's the thing, like, us as humans, we are all individual. We're all different, do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, we are. Just like the people that sent in them submissions today. And on that note, thank you very much for listening. And yeah, if you're enjoying the podcast so far, if you could leave a review on Apple or Spotify.
And obviously, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. If you have any opinions, stories, am I the asshole, or just want to confess your sins, then email us at submit@notanadult.co.uk or on our WhatsApp hotline on 07 55 337 8431. And remember, if you're messaging from outside the UK, then just slap +44 in front of it. You can do this anonymously or reveal your identity, whatever suits you. And don't forget to follow our Instagram, which is @nowpodcast. But thank you all for listening. Like, we do really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.